Welcome back, everyone. Very exciting. Everyone should have an incredible Zman. Wanted to start off the Zman. We know we're at the period between Pesach and Shavuos. We're getting ready for Kabbalas HaTorah, receiving the Torah. And as we're counting the Omer, 49 days, some have the custom to learn the 48 ways. 48 ways of wisdom, definitely something exciting in Ish HaTorah, which was one of the trademarks of Rosh Yeshiva's curriculum and inspiring people, uplifting people. And I wanted to take one of those ways right now and speak about it a little bit and how we could try to inculcate it into our Zman, into our own lives. And we start off with Yisro. Yisro came. The Pasuk says that he came, he gave advice to Moshe, and the Pasuk says, Vayishlach Moshe Chosno. Moshe sent him away. And the next Pasuk says, Vayhi Bayom HaShlishi, Bachodesh HaShlishi, that Bnei Yisrael came to Midbar Sinai, and they went ahead and they accepted, they received the Torah. First, Moshe sent Yisro away, and then they received the Torah. And the question is, why did they send them away? Let them join the party. Let Yisro be a Matan Torah. And the Yalkut Shimoni, if you want to look it up, it's in Remez Reish Ayin Aleph, says as follows. Moshe said, Banai, my sons, how you mishubadim betitu levenim. They were in the Shibud. They were subjugated in Mitzrayim. The Yisro, Hayayoshev betoch beso, bebetach, beheshket, ubalios, simcha satorim banai. And Yisro was home, enjoying life, out there in Midian. He wasn't in the dirt, in the mud, building over there in Mitzrayim. And now he wants to come after his vacation, and he wants to come and see the beauty, the joy of receiving the Torah? Yisro, see you later. Come back later. And in fact, sent him away, and Yisro came back later. Fascinating. You see that a condition in being at Maimed Har Sinai, in being able to receive the Torah, is that you had to be in Mitzrayim working like a dog. Yisro didn't have that experience, so he can't be there. The problem with this medrash is that we know that there was another group of people that weren't working too hard in Mitzrayim, even though they were there. And that is Shevet Levi. Exactly. The Leviim, they were in Mitzrayim, and they weren't working too hard. Yet we know that they were present at Maimed Har Sinai. They were there to accept the Torah. So if a condition to be at Har Sinai is that you have to be part of the Shibud, you have to be part of the subjugation, then why was it okay for Shevet Levi to go ahead and be there? And I saw a beautiful answer from Rav Aaron Cutler in the Mishnah Rabbi Aaron, and he says that It's true that... I'm sorry, I'll take a step back. So a different answer. We'll go backwards here. A different answer. That in the Sefer Yerach Mo'adim, he explains as follows. He says, it's true that Shevet Levi did not partake in the work. However, listen to what was going on in Mitzrayim with the tribe of Levi. The Pasuk says, Ve'ele, I'll read the whole Pasuk here. Perek Vav, Pasuk Yedalid, in Parshas Va'era. The Pasuk says, Ele Roshei Beis Avosam, B'nei Reuven B'chor Yisrael. It says the descendants, the names of Reuven. U'b'nei Shimon, the sons of Shimon. And it says, B'nai Gershon, says the sons of this person, the sons of this people, etc. But then it says, by Levi, it says, V'eila Shimos B'nai Levi. Here are the names of the sons of Levi. A stress on the names of Levi. By the other Shvatim, it just says Reuven, Shimon. But here, Shmos Levi, the names of Levi. Why the stress on the word Shemot, on their names? So the Shlach Kadosh writes in Parashas Va'era, there's a Torah's coming to stress that the custom in Mitzrayim was for Shevet Levi to name their kids after the subjugation. For example, he says, Gershon. What's that mean? Ki geirim heim ba'aretz. We're strangers in this land. We don't belong here. We don't feel comfortable here. It feels weird. Feels weirder. And that's the name of my child. Or kahat. What does kahat mean? Al shem shineim keos. That from the difficult work, they were grinding their teeth. Mazel tov. You had a son. What's his name? Grinding teeth. Oh, that's beautiful. And what's your name? My name is Merari. Oh, why is that? Al shem vayimaru eschayim. It means bitter. Life stinks. That's my name. Life stinks. That's really beautiful. That's what the Shlach Kodesh points out, that that's why the Torah came along over here and said, Shemos, the names of Levi, it was their custom to go ahead and name based on the bitterness of their time in Mitzrayim. And the Yaakov Shimoni writes, in Remes Kuf Samach Beis, Miriam, where did the name Miriam come from? Shenikris al Shem Amir, also bitter. Her name was bitter. And Aaron, how about his name? Vatar o the Taylor Bin Vatikrashmo Aaron. The Yaakov Shimoni Kuf Samach Dalit. Ki bimei her Yona, during his mother's pregnancy, Hechel Paro Lishbok Zechoreim Arza, he started to take the kids, the sons, the boys, and throw them onto the ground and ultimately into the water. That's what Aaron's name was, to remember that the whole difficulty that they're in, this horrible state, was from the pregnancy. That's what he was named after. Or the Pasuk says there was a family name in Levi called Livni. Livni. Where did that come from? Mishpachat Alivni says a Yaakov Shimoni Remes Tuf Mem Tes Al Shem Tit Ulevenim. It was named after the bricks. What's your family name? Bricks. Because that's what it was like. They were building bricks. They were working with the bricks. It was bitter. Our teeth were grinding. Life stunk. That is what the names of the tribe of Levi were called. Fascinating. And we see that what happened with Moshe Rabbeinu, the Pasuk says that he went out, Vayar b'siv lo sam, he saw their burden. Rashi says he wanted to experience what they were doing. The Medrash says, the Shmos Rabbah says that nosing seifav, he gave his shoulder, u'misayel l'kol echad v'echad, he gave his shoulder to every person to try to help out. And Rav Yerucham writes that he wasn't there because they needed help, so his shoulder would actually help out. Why was he giving his shoulder to them? Because he wanted to feel their pain. He wanted to feel, what was it like? Here it is, Moshe Rabbeinu. He's not working too hard. He wanted to feel, what are my brothers feeling? What is it like? So I want to work with them. I want to go down to the ground, to where they are, to the workforce over there, to feel it. What's going on? He wanted to feel their pain. That is what Shevet Levi were doing over there. So it's true that they didn't work, but they felt the pain of the rest of Bnei Yisrael. And when you feel the pain of Bnei Yisrael, of all the work, so it's as if they were pained. They had that work. They didn't physically work, but they felt the pain of the work. They had the same. They fulfilled the same condition as everyone else, that they had that pain. And therefore, they were allowed to ultimately go ahead and be at Matan Torah, be at Maimon Har Sinai. And something very fascinating, that Rav Yonasan Ivishitz writes, and it's the Pharisee Yehonasan, he says, why is it, this always bothered me, why is it that Shevet Levi got exempt? Like, why did Paro do that? So he writes, because Paro saw in the stars, in the mazalos, he saw that the savior of the Jewish people were going to come from this group. So he said, smart guy, he said, if the Savior is going to come from Shevet Levi, there is no way that the Savior of the Jewish people could come if he doesn't feel the pain of the people. It's impossible. You can't lead people. You can't be the head of people if you don't feel their pain. Sometimes people like to lead from their office with their legs up, drinking pina coladas, right? That doesn't work. That's not a real leader. A real leader feels the pain of the people. So he said, if the Savior is supposed to come from this group and I don't pain them, it'll never work out and they'll never be saved. What he didn't realize was a secret in Judaism is that even if you don't physically work and are involved in that pain, but if you feel the pain of the person, you feel the person that's going through something difficult, you feel it. You cry with him. So that's the same thing as if you did that thing yourself. And that's why Moshe was able to come out of that, because of the pain that they went ahead and they experienced. The story is told about the Chafetz Chaim during the First World War. The Chafetz Chaim would not sleep on a bed. Slept on a bench, hands behind his head, because he said, how could I sleep on a bed and be comfortable when all these people are in distress? All these people are being murdered. There's a world war out there. How in the world could I go ahead and I sleep on a bed? There was a famous Rav. His name was Blazer Beltzeller. He was unfortunately a Rav in America, and he got killed in a tragic bus accident here in Israel when he was visiting his students. Two of his sons learn here at night. So you could go and find him in that kolo of guys that come here at night. Two of his sons are in the kolo. He's a very special person, and there's a book, a biography about him, very inspirational. He said the following vort. He said, the Torah tells us that when Yosef and Binyamin finally became reunited, after so many years of being apart, they cried on each other's shoulders. And the Gemara tells us that Yosef saw, what was he crying about? He saw the two Batei Mikdashos that were in Binyamin's chelek, in his portion, that were going to be destroyed. And Binyamin saw that the Mishkan, which was going to be in Yosef's portion, that was going to be destroyed. So they were crying on each other's destruction. And he asked that if they saw the future destruction, then why did they just go into a corner and cry about it? Why are they crying on each other? And he said that because if your own world falls apart, there's no point in crying. Stand up, pick up the pieces, get work on rebuilding your life. But for your friend's tzar, that in someone else's portion, it's going down, there's going to be destruction. The most important thing for you to do is to cry with the other person. Yosef knew that there was going to be destruction in his portion. That he wasn't crying about. He was crying about the destruction that was going to be in Binyamin's. Binyamin, the destruction in his portion? Okay, we'll make it through. He was crying about the destruction that was going to be in Yosef's. When you know that someone else is going through pain, he's going through difficulty, you have to feel that pain, and you have to cry with them. And you have to do something sometimes that makes it a little bit uncomfortable. I knew someone that was sick with cancer, and a friend of his wanted to do something as a schus. So he couldn't figure out what to do. He decided he was going to do something very interesting. This was when Rav Scheinberg had passed away. Rav Scheinberg was a famous gadol who wore perhaps 100 pairs of tzitzis a day at once. So he passed away. He said, you know what? I'm going to wear two pairs of tzitzis. Instead of one, I'm going to wear two. So he put on, the first day, he put on two pairs of tzitzis. This is what he told me. And his shirt was puffy. You know, there was a lot of stuff going on under there. He wasn't so used to it. And it was the summertime, and he was boiling hot. And he said, you know what? Forget it. Maybe I'll just wear my tefillin a few minutes extra a day, or I'll say my brachos with more kavana. And then he said, you know, no. He said, those are easy. I'm uncomfortable when I wear this extra pair of tzitzis. He said, that's what I want to do. My friend has cancer. My friend is undergoing treatments. He's in tremendous amount of pain. I'm going to wear something, and yes, it will be uncomfortable, but I want to be with the other person's tzar. We had times here that there was a terrorist attack. I remember it was a Purim, and Rav Noach said, that's it, we're not having a party. We're not having the Purim party, no music. You know, some people said, you know, it would be better for the yeshiva, the guys really need it. Something bad happened out there? You have to feel the tsar. You have to feel the pain with other people. That's what it is. One of the 48 ways. Nosi ba'ol chavero. You feel the burden of the other person. And it's one of the 48 ways because it's one of the 48 ways to receive the Torah. Memches kinyani ha-Torah. You want to receive the Torah in the Shavuos? One of the ways to do that is by feeling the pain of others. For just going at with that with our life and everything's hunky-dory, you can't get the Torah. We have to step out of our box. We have to say, it's not all about me. It's uncomfortable to confront the other person. It's uncomfortable to think about the pain that the other person's going through. It's very uncomfortable. And that's why many of us have difficulty doing that. Rav Noach explained that that's why there's a halacha that when you go to pay a shiva call to someone, if someone's mourning, so you're supposed to go, sit down, and you're not allowed to talk. You're not allowed to talk to the mourner until he engages you in conversation. It could be that you're going to sit there for a half an hour, not say a word, and then walk out and say goodbye. You're not allowed to, so what in the world are you doing there? You're just sitting there. Sitting there, saying nothing. And you feel, no, I should say something, I should tell him about his parents, I should give him some comfort. The halacha is you sit there, quiet. He said, why? You're not doing anything for him. So Rav Noach said, no. Just by sitting there, you're showing him that you're sitting with him. You're feeling it with him. You're in the pain with him. When someone recognizes that you're in pain with them, that itself is a tremendous comfort. Sometimes it's not the hug, it's not the conversation that you have with the other person. Just being there, sitting there, that he knows that you're in pain with him. You could be far away, but you're in his pain. That itself is comforting when you know that someone's sharing your burden. And that's what Shevet Levi was doing in Mitzrayim. They named their kids with ridiculous names because they were so pained they wanted to not forget about that. Moshe Rabbeinu put the stuff on his shoulders because he wanted to physically feel the pain. Step out of your comfort zone, go into the other person's world. That is a condition to be able to go ahead and receive the Torah. When a person's selfish, thinking about his own world, it doesn't work. Only when he enters into other people's world, then he can go ahead and connect with other people. And like the Torah says, that Vayichan Sham Yisrael Kneged Ahar, that the Jewish people were like one. Doesn't just mean that they were nice to each other. They were physically one, just like your right arm feels the pain of your left arm. They felt the pain. They were physically one person. They were one entity. They felt it. They felt each other's joys and pains. A lot of times, we're all in our own worlds. We want to focus. We want to have a great Zman this month. Hopefully we will. And we're going to learn. And we have goals. And we're excited. And we're going to push. But we forget about the guy sitting next to us. Is it hard for him? Could he use chizuk? Could he use strength? Could he use a push? Could he use help finding a place for Shabbos? Or is he always alone, never being invited out? We have to look around and say, what's bothering other people? And feel it. Feel it. And then reach out to the other person to try to help. This summer Zman in Yeshiva is different than every other Zman. We're going to have thousands of people walking through this building that never experienced what we have experienced over here. They never had the opportunity. They themselves have difficulty. They themselves are searching. Many of them are in pain. It's important for us to take a step back and say, well, let's feel that and I'm going to be motivated to go ahead and help them. Like Rav Noach used to say that Nosei Ba'olim Chaveru also, how about the Ol of Hashem? How much is Hashem in pain when he sees his children not on the path? Not gaining from everything that he's giving them. Hashem is in pain. We have to feel the pain for others, we have to feel the pain for Hashem. It's not just about us. That's a condition for Kabbalah Satorah. It's a condition for us to be able to have a successful Shavuos. So my bracha to all of us, so we're able to take this way, the 48 ways, try to bring it into our lives, try to live with it every day, try to appreciate, yeah, it's uncomfortable when we think about difficulties that other people are having, it makes us uneasy, but that's what it's all about. If we really want to connect with others, we want to be one with other people, then we should go ahead and we should think about that every single day of our lives and put it into action. As a side point, even though it's very related, we're going to launch, Mirtz Hashem, this Zman, a new group. It's optional. Volunteer to be part of it. But if you're part of it, you're part of it. That's the deal. Where they're going to be three different sections. I'm not going to get into the details. We'll speak more about it tomorrow. There'll be a sign up where we'll be meeting to give over the whole program. Where we're going to have meetings, shiurim, classes, practical training to teach us how to be able to reach out to other people. Again, there are going to be tons of people walking through our doors, and it's going to be our responsibility and our opportunity that we're going to have to be able to learn with people, reach out to people, teach classes, give tours of the new building. Whoever is interested in joining this elite, important chavura group of people, you're invited. Okay, there'll be signs up tomorrow about when this meeting is going to be. It's going to be very, very exciting. It's going to be run by the students. I'm just going to launch it and get it going. Be'ezer Hashem, it's going to be add a significant feel, I think, to the yeshiva this month. I'm very, very excited about it. I encourage everyone to please join. It's going to be one lunch a week, 1 2 o'clock a week, and 1 6:30 a week of classes. And whoever can make it, highly encouraged, please look up the signs tomorrow of where that's going to be. Everyone should have an incredible Zman, and we should all be Zocha to an incredible Shavuos coming up.